I walked into the gym a couple of weeks ago, and normally it's not that busy in there, but for some reason it was a really busy day, and as soon as I got in the door, I mean, there was a crowd of people right around the door already, and I noticed they were just talking with each other about the election coming up, and of course the sign-in sheet was right there, so I'm trying to get through the crowd in order to sign my name in, and as I'm doing that, you know, they start asking me, well, John, you know, who are you going to vote for, and all this kind of thing, and you know, so I expressed my opinion and things like that, and they're all talking back and forth. Well, somehow, and I didn't do this, but somehow the subject turns to the talk of religion and spiritual kind of things. I thought, wow, well, you know, gee, I wonder if God set this up. You know? And so one of the guys there who really wasn't particularly fond of that kind of stuff starts really harping about this particular evangelist who's, you know, had his ups and downs over the years, and he's back on TV now, and he's just, you know, giving this guy a really hard time and really mocking the people who watch him and his various supporters and things, and he's going through a list, and he says, oh, he's got all this adoring fans who just follow him everywhere that thinks he's so much. And I said, well, you know, I happen to be aware of the guy. I know who he was talking about. So I said, well, you know, that's interesting. I know this guy you're talking about. As a matter of fact, back in 1980, I actually went to one of his crusades and got saved under his preaching. He felt, you know, looked like he was a little embarrassed. But I said, but you know what? Really, I got to tell you, honestly, I appreciate what you're saying, but it's never been about him. When I went to that crusade, you know, regardless of how radically it transformed my life and all the changes and all the glory and beauty and peace that it, and victory that it has brought me, it has never been about him. I am not a follower of that guy. It has always, only ever been about Jesus Christ. He is the one who saved me. He's the one that hung on the cross for my sins. He's the one who rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God. He is the one that it has always been about. This evangelist, you know, I could care less about him. If he does great, wonderful. If he falls on his face, oh well. But you know what? It's not about him anyway. And you know, when you guys come here, as grateful as I am, you know, I hope it's never about me or never about anybody up here or anybody, you know, in another part of this church. As wonderful as you guys are and as much as we love the folks who are involved here, the only reason we come here is to worship one person. That is the Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're here to worship Jesus. It's always only ever been about Him. So anyway, I'm sharing this with the guy, and you know, he's kind of like embarrassed a little bit, but this one other lady wasn't, and she kind of blew up. And she said, well, you know what? I've had it with all that stuff. I'm not afraid of hell. We're in hell right now. And she storms off. So I looked around the gym and I said to the other lady next to me, wow, I really expected something different than this. Yeah. Although I have to admit, I have heard some wailing and gnashing of teeth while these guys are working out sometimes. So I don't know, maybe we're closer than I thought. Praise God. But it has always been about Jesus. Paul said, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ and Him crucified. In fact, Him crucified and risen and coming again. That was the name that I fell in love with on that night back on August 30th of 1980. Much as that guy did a pretty good job, and I guess he played some good music too, but it was Jesus that captured my heart. Praise God. So as we look into the book of Acts, as we continue our study of the book of Acts and go through this series, we're going to see that one of the signs of revival, of God sovereignly pouring out His Spirit in power and in signs and wonders, one of the signs that we see in that kind of a situation is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed boldly in His name, and that it is accompanied by signs and wonders in His name, as the Holy Spirit causes those things to come to pass. It is always about Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn with me, we're going to put it up on the screen, but you're welcome to turn in your Bibles to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1. I enjoy giving out the gospel message. In fact, the more I've been involved in it lately, as far as evangelism out on the street and different things like that, it's been a blast. I had some of these, you know, gospel tracts that look like million-dollar bills in my wallet. with me the other day, and I went into a gas station, and I went inside, and I told the lady, yeah, give me $1 million on number 3. And she didn't seem to be, you know, too impressed by my humor. So she just continued doing what she was doing and kind of, you know, then gradually looked up. And then I handed her the $1 million bill. And she almost fell out, man. She just thought that was the most hysterical thing that she'd ever seen in her life. And I said, yeah, there's $1 million question on the back. You know, are you going to heaven when you die? And, of course, I had to get down the road, so I didn't have to carry on that conversation, so I had to leave. I just told her, well, you know, I had a really big gas tank. And then I gave her $20 for the gas that I really needed. But the gospel was preached. She has the gospel message in her hands, and now she can read that, and the Lord can work on her heart. So I've been enjoying that. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. You remember last week, we're talking about all the things that happened after the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came in power. Everybody bonded as the body of Christ. They were gathering together in fellowship, sharing everything in common. And now, this is about a few weeks later. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That was about 3:00 in the afternoon. Now, keep in mind that people weren't really called Christians until about 15 years after this, okay? So these are still Jewish men who happen to be followers of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Nothing has really changed for them in that respect at this point. And so they're in Jerusalem. You know, they have the 3 hours of prayer, 9:00, 12:00, 3:00. They're going up into the temple for prayer as they normally would. And the people that are surrounding them are all Jewish people, and you're going to see they're going to relate to them in that manner and present Christ as the Messiah. But that's what they were doing at this point. Verse 2. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. I guess so. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Any of you guys know somebody who is unable to walk? Anybody here know anybody who's wheelchair bound? I do. Anybody who walks with crutches because they don't have proper use of their legs? You guys know anybody that maybe is confined to a home because they really are not mobile at all? Yeah. We all are touched by that. We all know somebody in that situation. Now imagine, if you will, what do you think would happen if one day you happen to see them at the grocery store, maybe they're there in their wheelchair or something, and as you see them, you get this sense of the presence of God, this tangible sense of the power and the glory of God just kind of welling up in you, just sort of resting on your shoulders. And you know that God wants to do something. And you're like, oh, man, don't even tell me. But you go up to them and you greet them and you're like, wow, how's it going? Yeah, good to see you here. And that unction from the Holy Spirit comes on you and you know that the Lord wants you to pray for this person. And so you do. You just start praying for them. You know what? Do you mind if I pray? I just feel this unction from God. Just, you know, I don't mean to embarrass you or anything, but we're over here in the produce. You know, we're over by the zucchini and nobody's really around us. Would you mind if I just, you know, kind of lay my hand on your shoulder and pray for you? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm kind of stiff today in my shoulders and all. And you prayed for them, and all of a sudden, that glory just falls, man. You can feel the heat of the anointing of God just pouring all over you, and all of a sudden they get this smile on their face and their eyes get big and their legs suddenly receive strength. And let's say they have been, you know, who knows how long they've been in this condition, maybe from birth. And all of a sudden their legs receive strength and power, and you sense that glory just pouring forth. And so you take them by the shoulder and you just kind of give them a little nudge. And suddenly, in amazement, you see them lift up out of that chair and stand on their feet, and their face is just beaming, man. They're like, oh, man, what is going on? And suddenly they're able to step out of that thing, and they're holding on to you for balance because they're not sure what this is all about. But God has invaded their reality with His power and glory, and they are just beside themselves as they begin to take steps. And to their amazement, they're able to walk. They're able to kind of bounce up and down. And as they become giddy and just overwhelmed with awe and wonder and joy and amazement, they're like, wow. And so right there in Safeway, next to the zucchini and the green peppers, they just start jumping up and down and praising God. And you just start jumping up and down with them and saying, oh, man, thank you, Lord. I guess you would create a little stir in Safeway. Especially if this person has been going there for years and years and years, and everybody knows them. The clerks all know them. The produce man knows them, you know. The people that are standing around, maybe, you know what happens in a grocery store. If you run into one person from church, you always run into two or three or five or six. You can barely get out of the place because you keep meeting everybody. And so people start coming around like, wait, I know that person. I see them in here all the time. They're crippled. They can't even get out of their chair. What is going on? And suddenly the whole place starts running over. People are like, man, you got to check this out. Do you think people would be amazed? Do you think you would be amazed? Yes. Do you think the person who got healed, that person that came into your mind when I initially asked you that question, do you think they would be amazed? Praise God. Do you think that you would have the attention of the people in the store? Oh, man. Yes. You know, it's interesting. Peter and John, as I say, they were Jews. They were all Christians were Jews at that point. And so they had been to this temple before. Many times. They might have been there multiple times that very day, and the day before that, and the day before that. And this guy had been lame from birth. And so they'd seen this man before. He was there. They passed him back and forth all the time. In fact, when Jesus was in Jerusalem, Jesus probably saw this man there. Think about that. Wow. And everybody knew this guy. They all recognized him. They knew he was the guy that people carried to the temple and laid there on the steps. And they'd all seen him before. But today, this day was the day God had chosen to do something amazing, something mind-blowing. God, in His sovereign purpose and timing, said, okay, you've been by this guy before. I want to do something today.